Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Visit audiblepodcast.com/auctionpodcast for your free audiobook download. Welcome to the Antique Auction Podcast. I'm Martin Willis.
And I'm Phyllis Gow. We hope to bring you entertaining and informative shows in regards to antique auction business, fine art, and collectibles.
We'll be having phone and live interviews with auctioneers, collectors, specialists during our upcoming unscripted shows.
You can see our upcoming show topics on our website, antiqueauctionpodcast.com. And also, please feel free to email us with any suggestions for the show topics or images of anything you might have questions about. The email address is auctionpodcast@me.com. That's auctionpodcast@me.com.
Today's topic is going to be the auction in the internet. And there's so much to cover in such a short time, and we're only going to be a few minutes in here before we're calling Senior Vice President Scott Miles from Live Auctioneers. But right now, start at the beginning, I'll talk a little bit of how things were prior to the internet and what you had to do in the auction business. First of all, as far as advertising goes, the only way you could advertise was by mail. I'm talking prior to FedEx or any of that. And so you always had to mail in your ads, way above the deadline. The mail didn't seem to be so dependable as it is now. So you had to send your ads out in plenty of time. And if something came in that was really good and you had to, you wanted to advertise it and you wanted to put it, let's say, in the Antiques and Arts Weekly, the Newtown Bee, you would jump in your car with the Polaroids because you didn't have time to develop. It used to take 2 or 3 days to develop film, too. So used to jump in the car and like say my father and I would drive from Maine all the way down to Newtown, Connecticut, 4.5 hours drive just to get an ad, you know. And I remember we had a really nice tall clock. We had to get advertised, and we would do the 8-hour round trip just to get that ad in. And then FedEx came along, of course, and changed that. It was now overnight. A fax machine, you could get text ads out instantly. Still don't know how fax machines work. It's pretty bizarre.
Magic.
You make all that noise. so then, the time moved on. Now, of course, advertising is very simple. You can build your own ad right on your laptop and email it out right away. It's pretty amazing. And right up to the deadline, I'm sure places like the Newtown Bee and Maine Antiques Digest, they probably get a million ads right at their deadline exactly, or two minutes before or something like that. Very easily abused these days. But anyway, so that was the advertising segment. As far as bidding at auction, some used to be and still is phone bidding, live bidding, and absentee bidding. And now with the added flavor of internet bidding, that really that's where everything changed and is still changing. So I'm going to talk briefly about eBay. eBay, and the reason I'm talking about eBay, because there's nothing else has changed our business more than eBay, and it's really taken collecting the search out of collecting. It's changed that dramatically. I'll give you an example. Okay, let's just say I'm an avid Hummel collector. Do you know what a Hummel is?
Oh God, yes.
Yeah, God forbid. So I'm a Hummel collector, and I'm looking for Goose Girl number 14. I don't even know what it's called.
I bet you are.
Yeah. And I don't belong to, and I don't have a subscription to Hummel Fancy or anything like that. So I'm looking.
Don't lie, Martin.
So I'm jumping in my car. I'm driving to antique shops, going all over the place. I'm looking at auction flyers. I'm looking at auction ads, and looking for my Hummel Goose Girl Small B Mark number, whatever, in 1942 or something. So. I drive, and all of a sudden I find it in an antique shop, and it's $400, and I don't think about it. I just buy it, okay? So now what's happened is eBay comes along. eBay comes along, and someone sees on eBay Goose Girl number, whatever I just said, mm-hmm. sells for the same amount of money, $400 on eBay. So they dig theirs out of their closet, and mm-hmm. their neighbor digs theirs out of their closet, and they put those on online. All of a sudden, the market's flooded with this infamous Goose Girl, and the prices start tumbling because they're readily available. Mm-hmm. And a couple of clicks, and you get it in the mail. So all of a sudden, we're seeing in the auction business that Goose Girl, et cetera, is selling for less and less money. And so this is happening. It's taken, it's kind of leveling out the water of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And there are two sides to this, of course. The side is what I'm talking about first, is anything that was commercially made, mass-produced, and highly collectible at first when it went on eBay, went for all of the money. Then the market is flooded, mm-hmm. prices start tumbling. We're talking about, I remember when Roseville pottery, for instance, went on eBay, all of a sudden it was going for all the money and sometimes even higher than it was in shops and auctions. Mm-hmm. And then it leveled out quickly. And the same thing with any type of mass-produced art pottery. On the other side of that, I recently spoke with a gentleman that has the largest Babe Ruth signed ball collection on the West Coast. And he was saying that eBay changed the collectability of Babe Ruth items. Now, that's a very rare item, not too many items available, well sought after. And he said it changed it to a global market where everyone all over the world was collecting Babe Ruth items, and the prices mm-hmm. soared very high.
Those are authentic, rare pieces.
Authentic,
though.
Yes, yeah. Of course. That's a whole other story.
Yeah.
So the things like that in the market.
Just twofold.
Yeah. So then eBay later on decides to get into the live auction business. And that really changed. That was a major, major change. Now you take, because auction houses, small auction houses like myself back mm-hmm. east, we had our own websites. We'd put our items up on our website with description, pictures, things like that, and hopefully someone would find our website that we would advertise or stumble on it or something like that. But mm-hmm. You just didn't have the interaction of bidding or anything like that, which you do now. So what happened, eBay decided that they would get into the live auctions, and that changed literally everything. All of a sudden you had this little tiny auction house, let's just say Elliott, Maine, where I was from, that was selling mostly regional. You would get, through advertising, you just certainly reach people all over, but not like the internet, not mm-hmm. like eBay. All of a sudden, you have 200 million people on eBay can see your items mm-hmm. and stumble on your items through searches and things like that. So now you take this little small regional auction house, and now it's a worldwide auction house. Mm-hmm. So a really good, for instance, in that whole situation is people recognizing something, a situation I saw that there was an old master painting, but it was advertised as a, it was not quite advertised correctly, probably. Mm-hmm. It was an unsigned painting, and it was up on eBay, and people recognized the work, the brush strokes, and that painting ended up going for, it was a 4,000 to 6,000 estimate, the painting ended up going for $600,000 because people recognize the work, and that's the power of the internet right there to get it out there. So when eBay first was available, I know there were auctioneers. I helped one try to put his auction up on eBay. It was a real big deal, loading the images, and very difficult to do. And then there was companies that came along and decided to be the gateway between the auction house and between eBay. And eBay, of course, pulled out of the auction, live auction business, December 31st, 2008. And live auctioneers, who we're going to speak to right now, Scott Miles at Live Auctioneers, he will lead us through that.
Yeah. The Live Auctioneers was the gateway, like Martin said, but now they're the actual host.
They're the host, that's correct. Okay, let's give this a try here. All right, so Scott Miles, Senior Vice President, Live Auctioneers.
Live Auctioneers, this is Scott.
Yes, hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
This is Martin Willis and Phyllis Cow from the Antique Auction Podcast. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yes, sure. Good to talk to you. It's been a while since we've seen each other.
Yes, it has. It's been a few years now.
Yes. Well, I'm going to fire the questions, start right now. Let's start at the beginning of Live Auctioneers. Tell me the need for your service, how that became available in the beginnings of the company in general.
Well, the company was founded by Julian Ellison, who had a long background in antiques. He had worked for Christie's in London, and he also spent many years in publishing. With this experience, Julian, you know, had an idea for a way to connect bidders and auction houses using the internet. And from this idea, Julian approached eBay to make kind of a long story short, born Live Auctioneers. Live Auctioneers from late 2002 till December 31st of 2008 enjoyed a very successful relationship with eBay Live Auctions, having conducted on average 75% of all auctions through eBay Live. But it's been an exciting trip that we've been on here. And you know, in the beginning, Julian was cold calling auctioneers, bringing on auctioneers to try out the live online bidding. It was a total foreign idea at the time, and it was, you know, way ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, the first an interesting story. The first auction house to use the service, Julian actually traveled to that auction to clerk their sale. And in fact, the story is he drove through a blizzard to get there and got there just as the auction started.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that it was good that he was there, because this auction house had so many bids, so much online activity, and it was a very successful auction online. And so successful, the small auction house was overwhelmed, and it turned out to be too much of a success for them. But from there was kind of the beginning of the foundations of our platform. You know, that was obviously have changed tremendously over the years. You know, when we first started, we all worked out of our apartments and worked 24/7, worked remotely, and you know, trying to convince auctioneers that online bidding was the future.
Now, do you work in a central office right now?
We are. We are in a central office in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
When we started, I was working out of my home office apartment in Washington, D.C., and the other three, the two other owners, Julian and John Ralston, were working out of their apartments in New York, and another developer out of his apartment in New York. But, you know, the original staff, we're all still here involved with the company, and it's, you know, it's grown by leaps and bounds. And, you know, we're at the point now where we, you know, we have provided online bidding services to over 800 auction houses in 15 different countries. And, you know, we've become a true global company.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember years ago when eBay first started, I actually mentioned to a friend of mine, John McGinnis, back in Massachusetts, I said, if there's a way to put an auction up on eBay, wouldn't that be something? And he laughed at me. I remember anyone that I mentioned that to, and then, you know, what a brilliant idea, though.
Yeah, it certainly has taken on a life of its own, and you know, it's definitely turned the auction house business, you know, into a more powerful industry. I mean,
sure.
It's taking your small local auction houses and turn them into strong regional auction houses. It's given auction houses the opportunity to compete for better consignments. It's
absolutely.
You know, it really has helped grow the business. In fact, it's a bit almost a reintroduction of the telephone back into the auction business once phone bidding started to become more prevalent.
That's so, right. Mm-hmm. I was talking about that. I don't think I talked about it in this episode, but I did talk about it another time, how phone bidding was one of the first ways, you know, and there were people grumbling back then, you know, and there, of course, they're grumbling now with the internet, you know.
Sure.
Like, sometimes people get upset. They say, well, I drove 2 hours to get here and someone online got it. But that's the way it is. You know, all you have to do is bid one more time if that's
how you think. Exactly. It's the beauty of the business.
So,
Scott, let's say that I'm not really familiar with online auctions. Most of our audience, I think, is pretty knowledgeable, but let's just play it safe and say, I don't know how your service works. Can you pretend I've never heard of it and I'm new to auctions and walk
me through? Sure. From a bidder perspective, what happens is a bidder comes to liveauctioneers.com, and they may get to one of our clients' auction catalogs that are on our site through various avenues, whether it's our weekly newsletter, our alert system, or auctioncentralnews.com. But once a user comes to a lot at Live Auctioneers, they can register for the auction. They can do that through having a username and password at Live Auctioneers, which is a free account that they can sign up for, which gives them access to our free archive database and other marketing potential at Live Auctioneers. Once they see a lot or an auction they want to participate in, they go through a process of agreeing to that company's auction house's terms and conditions. Once they've agreed to that, they will go through a bidder registration process with the auction house. Once they're approved, their absentee bids can be left, and they also can live the sale of the day of the auction of the sale. And the way that the bidding live functionality works is that bidder will be at their computer the day of the sale, and they will be logged on to Live Auctioneers, and they'll open up a buyer's console, an applet. And from there, they can see the bidding increments increase, and it's really like phone bidding, as we were talking before. It's like phone bidding, but it's all done with a click of the mouse rather than voice and communication. It's all done through visually seeing the lot, seeing the increments increase as a clerk at the auction house is relaying the bids to the online bidders and clicking their bid now button. It all happens instantaneously from the auction house perspective. It doesn't slow down the sale. And from the bidder's perspective, it, when the bids are sent through and they're accepted and they are the successful high bidder, post-sale is business as usual. They will get an invoice from the auction house. They'll pay the invoice, and the auction house will arrange shipment with that buyer. And all this is managed through liveauctioneers.com. And the profile page where a user can track their bids, can track their history, and see which auctions that they've been participating in. Because at any one time, we may have 75, 100 auctions online from 25, 30 different auction houses. You know, we see that you know, having that profile page is a great way for a user to interact with Live Auctioneers and manage their online activity and really use it as a tool to grow their collection.
Yeah, you guys handle so many auction houses, and you guys do so much, really. Just in case the audience out there doesn't know, liveauctioneers.com is a really good resource just to...
For research.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You can find anything and find out how much it sold for. And
yeah, we have an archive database as over 4 million auction results and over 40 million images, and it's a free archive database.
It's
free.
Amazing. Yeah.
Users from a research standpoint, from an auction house side of things, or bidders who are trying to research whether it's their consignments they're looking to consign at auction, or they're doing research on items they're looking to buy, it's a great resource for them to use, and it's completely free.
I have to say that I have a subscription to other sources, and Live Auctioneers is free, and not even keeping that in mind whether I paid for one or not, I use Live Auctioneers more than the other ones. It's very easy to use. And it is appreciated. I don't know if anyone ever says that to you, but it is appreciated.
I use it as well, and you know, being a collector of my own, is I do use it, and it's something that I think that, from just a user standpoint, it's easy to use, and it's fully illustrated, which I think is so important.
So, so Scott, how did Live Auctioneers keep up with the growth of of the company?
Well, you know, when Live Auctioneers was with eBay, we would manage the technical issues that happened with eBay's platform. It was sort of a baptism by fire. You know, our staff needed to provide 24/7 emergency support and be able to manage any issues that came from from the eBay Live Auction system. Basically, keeping up with that growth, you know, our major hurdle was building a team of customer support professionals that could assist auctioneers with their online auction issues, as well as navigate the unknown of eBay. You know, once that hurdle, once was a hurdle, has now become a strength. You know, our backbone of our company is the customer support team, and you know, they're fantastic. We're staffed 7 days a week, and we're providing support not only for auctioneers but also to bidders now. So if they have issues or questions with registering for an auction, you know, we have somebody here that can assist them through our live chat, through our website.
Speaking of that, earlier we were talking about the global you know, the global part. You are in 15 different countries?
We have auction houses that have run auctions in 15 different countries, correct.
So there may be a little language barrier there, but also, so that means you, when you say you're available 24/7, you have to be available 24/7 for these auction houses in other countries.
Correct, we are. We do have, for the auction houses, an emergency line they can communicate to us in. We have some of our support staff are multilingual. So not only can we communicate through email, but also, you know, when we're on the phone with them, supporting them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that customer support was a big hurdle because we grew so quickly that we needed to make sure that we had the correct staff in here and have a customer support team that knew about the business, that knew how to solve any problems and issues that would come up from eBay. Mm-hmm. And now, being our own platform, you know, it's a matter of just navigating through any of the problems that happen on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, it really has been the reason that we've been able to keep up with that growth is because of our customer support team. And, you know, we're so lucky to have a dedicated staff and a staff that, you know, believes in our company and works hard for the company and is here on the weekends when they need to be. And it really is a testament to, you know, where we've grown as a business. And we talk about 7 years ago, working out of our apartments. Now we have, you know, this great staff and this great team here. So it's really helped us grow.
About how many employees do you have now?
We are about 14 employees. We have the main of the operations is here in New York City. We also have some sales reps who are remote, who are handling different parts of Europe as well as also different parts of the States.
Now, speaking of Europe, is there what about the language barriers?
From a customer standpoint, from an auction house standpoint, as I mentioned, we do have members of our customer support team that are multilingual, so they're able to support them through emails and through the phone when those issues arise.
No, I mean as far as the auction house and setting up their auctions online for people to bid. Say I'm in India, but I want to attract an American audience. It's up to me as the auction house to put things in English.
Yes, it is. The auction house will, and again, most auction houses who believe in the online bidding will go the extra steps to provide their auction catalogs in many languages.
I see.
Mostly, obviously, their local language and is also in English. Mm-hmm. We do have some clients. We have a German auction house, a toy auction house, that will just provide all their descriptions in German. They do see a significant amount of bidding still, but not as much as if they provided it to us in English.
Sure. Hey, so when eBay decided to pull out last December, was there a time when live auctioneers thought it was over? I know we were all, as auctioneers, we were all, you know, shaking our heads what we were going to do.
Sure.
And by the way, there were some dealers that were pretty elated when they heard that. but I found the transition really smooth. But was there a time that you thought this whole thing was over, or did you see it as an opportunity? What happened then?
Without a doubt, we saw it as an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after many successful years with eBay, towards the end we started to see some changes they were making to their platform, things that were affecting the success of eBay Live Auctions. It made things a little bit more difficult on eBay Live with some of the changes that they were making to eBay.com, to their core platform.
And just before you move on, a lot of people had this question. I don't think it was ever clearly answered. Do you know why eBay did pull out of the live auctions?
You know, there are some things out, some stories out there why they got out of it. You know, I never had a definitive reason why, but again, we saw it as an opportunity. So for whatever reasons that they decided, we thought and felt that this was our opportunity to make changes to what people had already thought about the online bidding platform and the online bidding world. You know, with the decision for eBay to terminate, you know, Live Auctioneers saw the opportunity to create a platform for auction houses and auction house live bidders. So, you know, we now have the control to implement technology and policies, pricing and marketing strategies that benefit the auction houses and auction houses of all different types and sizes. So where, you know, we were piggybacking on eBay.com, eBay Live Auctions, we now are a platform specifically specifically developed, specifically designed with auction houses in mind and auction house buyers in mind.
Yeah, I like that. And I actually, I've worked on the block a little bit with live auctioneers. I think it's a better system, actually. At first, there was a few bugs to work out, I could see,
sure,
which happened, and but I really, really liked it. Phyllis, mm-hmm. you have another question?
Yeah. Just how many registered users do you currently have, and how do you get new registered bidders? How do you, you know, put the word out there?
Well, Live Auctioneers currently has over 3 million bidders in
wow.
our database.
Jeez.
Really?
Wow.
In fact, during the second quarter of 2009, we had on average 3,000 new registrations per week to liveauctioneers.com.
Really? Wow.
Live Auctioneers, our platform, Live Auctioneers, is the first a marketing platform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have multiple avenues of promotion for our auction houses, such as a weekly newsletter, which has over 350,000 subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
We launched auctioncentralnews.com, which is a digital newspaper designed to serve as a one-stop destination for auction industry information. And we also have an alert system, which matches bidders to their preferences of upcoming lots. So when a catalog is uploaded to Live Auctioneers, an alert is sent to that bidder.
Is that fairly new? Because I didn't know you had that service, and I did have that service, and I still do actually on eBay. How do you access that?
From liveauctioneers.com on our sitemap, there is a link for alerts whereby a user can manage their alerts. They can have text messages sent to them with alerts, or they can have them sent through email.
Mm-hmm.
And it will give a link to those lots which match the keywords.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was interested in Kuniyoshi prints, I would put Kuniyoshi in to my search, and any time a lot matched that, I would be sent an email with a link to that lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of text messages, I have the new app that you have for the iPhone. It's great, 99-cent app that you seem to have that worked out totally fine. It works great.
Yeah, the app has been an interesting goal that we've had here, which is always push the envelope for the technology. And
mm-hmm.
you know, Live Auctioneers likes to think that we're at the leading edge of the online auction industry, and the app was just one of the things that I think further cemented that. You know, we launched this app about 3 weeks ago, and it was the first app that allowed for absentee bidding. Users of the iPhone app can search upcoming auctions, they can search archive results, they can register auctions, and of course they can leave absentee bids. The success of the iPhone app with promoting our business in the iTunes community, allowing iPhone and iTouch users to use our app, you know, really put us out there to generate new users to Live Auctioneers. We felt it was just another avenue to market our company to users who may not know that we are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever solve the Mac problem? I have a Mac at home.
Mac users at Live Auctioneers can register for an auction just like a PC user. They can leave absentee bids just like a PC user. In fact, when users come to Live Auctioneers, on average, 80% of users leave absentee bids.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of Mac users can do everything just like any other user. When it comes to bidding live, a Mac user would need to download a parallel run a Windows application on their Mac, which is another step, but they can bid live.
Okay.
Coming up here towards the end of summer, Live Auctioneers for the fall auction season will have, that process will be changed, whereby we'll have the ability for auction bidders to bid without having that extra step. So that will be changed.
Okay. Let's see. We're getting a little pushed on time here, but what do you see as the future of the company, and what kind of changes do you think there will be in regarding technology?
Well, we just started covering some of that with the iPhone app. I mean, I think
uh-huh.
the future of Live Auctioneers will continue to see a growth on the technology side. You know, the iPhone app that we launched, which was allowing for the absentee bidding, was, you know, really showing where we're going with this technology. We're coming out with the BlackBerry version, which will be released around Labor Day, the BlackBerry app, as well as we'll also be developing for the Android, which is the platform for a Google phone.
Oh, really?
You know, we invested time into developing these new technologies because, you know, we see this as an opportunity to enhance the bidders' interaction with live auctioneers. And in the future, we see allowing for bidders to bidding live from their PDA or their handheld. I think that's where we see this technology going.
Yeah, we actually don't really know what's going to happen with technology, the way things move, you know, what they're, you know, what is even going to be the next, say, iPod or iPhone. You know, we really don't know.
Sure.
You know?
And it's exciting. You know, we our developers here are always thinking 10 steps ahead of what I'm thinking and not being on the technology side. And, you know, there are some very interesting things that, you know, all I can say is, you know, stay tuned because there's going to be some exciting things coming out.
Right. You know, going back a few steps here, when eBay was involved with the live auctions, you never knew who was going to sign up for an auction. You know, it would be just say someone may have stumbled across an item and they collect, corkscrews, let's just say that, or something strange. And all of a sudden, they never signed up at an auction before, and they sign up, and then they bid on the corkscrews. What do you think is the difference today between who signs up at live auctioneers compared to who used to use eBay to sign up at auctions?
It's a great question. You know, it was something that when we were with eBay, we had a lot of bidders sign up for auctions that came to lots through an eBay.com search. And because of that, they didn't necessarily know that it was a live auction event, didn't realize that there was
right.
A registration process, didn't realize that there was a buyer's premium.
Yeah, that's right.
And because of this, there were, you know, a lot of bidders that signed up that didn't participate. They got frustrated with the process because it was outside of what and how eBay.com operated. You know, now it's much different with the users that we're attracting. You know, the 3 million plus bidders that Live Auctioneers has in our database, they're online consumers, they're online auction buyers, and they're educated in the process of buying online. You know, for example, there's a great example of a recent toy auction that we had. And I have a quote here from the owner of the company who says, you know, one thing we noticed was that the quality of internet bidders has gone up. Mm-hmm. Back when our sales ran through eBay Live, we would have more people registered to bid, but we only sell 20% online. Now with Live Auctioneers, the number of bidders is not as high, but we're selling 30% online.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who registered all seem to bid.
I'll tell you this. It's funny. When I saw the first Live Auctioneers auction happen, I spoke with the internet person involved, and I said, what's going on as far as the registered bidders? And she said it was down. And then at the end of the auction, I said, well, how was the activity? She said, it's the same as it's always been.
Yeah.
And so I likened it to, you know, being a New Englander growing up in New England, having auctions in New England. I said, it's like having an auction in a snowstorm. The serious people get through.
Sure.
And they bid.
Absolutely.
And that's,
I think there was that, you know, you can't compete with the 260 million people that eBay had, but you know, the average hammer price on eBay.com is, I think, less than $5.
I think that's probably right.
And the average hammer price at Live Auctioneers is over $600.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there was a lot of bidders who not only did they not understand the process, which is not their fault, but they were more looking for lesser type of valued items, which if there was one thing that our auction houses brought to eBay was quality content, good catalog items, and fresh-to-market fine art antiques and collectibles. So.
Okay, you just mentioned about the average price. How does Live Auctioneers make their money?
Well, Live Auctioneers currently, I mean, I mentioned before that when we launched on our own, we had the opportunity to change a lot of things. Since January 1st, we've also changed the pricing structure. So Live Auctioneers does not charge a commission anymore to our auction houses, which means that there's not a passing along of that commission to our bidders online. We are the average increase of hammer price on our website is so small now that it's really almost equal footing between online bidders and in-house bidders.
Mm.
So with all that being said, we now charge a listing fee to our auction houses.
Ah.
It's like placing an advertisement in front of 3 million users at Live Auctioneers.
Mm-hmm.
An auction house will pay us a listing fee, which we call a credit. And that will give them the opportunity to promote their auction to Live Auctioneers' database and allows them to have access to all of our functionality and tools.
Well, I almost feel like you're losing out. I mean, the whole business is based on commission. So you're losing out on that. You know, I mean, when eBay was involved, there was a 5% commission, if I remember right. So now if you have a really big ticket item, you're missing out on that commission. I see.
It's the same. It's the same analogy of, does the print publication charge a commission when they bring one of their readers to an auction house that buys a big ticket item?
Good point.
And this is something that we want to be in partnership with our auction houses, and we want to give them the best possible functions, tools, marketing, so they can grow their business. And we're doing fine. We've got a very successful business model. We have a lot of auctions running online, and we're moving forward quite nicely here.
So well don't get me wrong.
The pricing structure has worked well, and we feel that it's brought more business to us. But it's also brought more auction houses continuously come back to use the system because it is the most cost effective way for an auction house to promote their business.
Well, don't get me wrong. We really do appreciate as auctioneers that you're not charging commission. And Phyllis has another question.
While we're talking about money, do you remember the highest priced item that went through live auctioneers?
Oh, goodness. each auction lot at live auctioneers and basically has its own story to tell. I mean, we've had thousands and thousands of lots achieve big results, well above their high estimate. On liveauctioneers.com, under the site map in the upper right-hand corner, we have a link to auction highlights. It's about 53 pages of past highlights. And just pulling some and looking at some information there, I mean, we've had a gilt metal Chinese vase sell for $50,000, a horn pouring vessel selling for $76,000, a Steinway art case piano sell for $38,000, George Inns landscape for $71,000, an Elvis concert suit that he wore at a concert sell for $105,000, Tiffany Studios daffodil lamp sell for $67,000. Babe Ruth game used bat for $82,000. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. I mean, it was once a place that maybe wasn't as trusted for high ticket items, and I'm talking 6-7 years ago.
Right.
But now you see an end of auction report, and you're amazed by the high end ticket items that are actually selling online. People trust this. It's safe. It's secure. Mm-hmm. Are using this system to build their collections, and they like the anonymity of being online, just as if they were on the phone or leaving absentee bids. So it definitely has become an extension to the auction business where high-ticket items are selling. Mm-hmm.
So now, eBay had the feedback system to say if someone flaked on a bid and they didn't pay. Now it's basically up to the auction house to police that. Is that right?
Correct. Live Auctioneers has some functionality that we provided for auction houses so they can so they can register their bidders. We provide an authentication process where we will authenticate a user, and an auction house will have layers of tools in the back end where they can search past disputes, or they can communicate with other auction houses in our forum to see if there's been any discrepancies with other bidders. But we do put a lot of the control in the auction house's hand, which is totally different to what we had with eBay. With eBay, you only had the information that eBay was giving and providing to you. With live auctioneers, we put more control into the auction house's hands to qualify their own buyers.
Uh-huh. Hey, well, I guess we're just about out of time here, but I just wanted one more question, throw one more question at you. Do you have any fascinating story regarding something that happened with the company or an auction that you were involved in? Anything you can think of? Anything comes to mind?
God, I mean, there's been hundreds and thousands of sales. It just about every auction that has run through Live Auctioneers has a fascinating story.
Doesn't it?
For example, if you look at any auction online with us, you'll see something interesting. And, auctioncentralnews.com.
Right.
If you go there now, you'll see a $1 banknote issued by a China bank, and it was the first one ever issued by a China bank, $1 banknote. There's also online now, a rifle owned by Russ Runs Hymns, who was General George Custer's famous Crow Scout of the Battle of Bighorn. I mean, there's so many exciting stories, but they don't really happen here between the law of the live auctioneers. They happen at the auction houses themselves.
Yes.
We deliver the bidders and provide a safe and secure bidding vehicle for them to bid, but there's you know, there's multiple stories.
Yes, there is. Well, Scott, you've been absolutely fascinating. We really enjoyed speaking with you.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Sure thing. And we'll be talking soon. Take care now.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
So that was Scott Miles, Senior Vice President of Live Auctioneers.
Yeah, what a nice guy.
That was great. So I think he touched on a lot of areas and how the, you know, basically the internet has changed and what we do with auctions. And we don't have any idea what the future is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it changes so quickly all the time, it seems.
Well, you think about, you know, I heard this story on... the very first thing that was sold on eBay was a broken laser pointer. They put it on eBay.
That was the very first thing.
The very first time. They just wanted to try it out. And so.
Wait, you're talking eBay Live?
Auction? No. eBay in general, when it very first, the founder put on a broken laser pointer. And someone actually bid $14 on it. So he emailed him. He emailed the guy and he said, "You do know the laser pointer's broken, don't you?" And the guy emailed back, "Yes, I did. I collect broken laser pointers."
Oh, my God.
So that's when eBay knew they had something.
Yeah, that's like the philosophy of online buying.
Yeah. And did you hear about the grilled cheese sandwich?
Oh, wait. I think I did. Refresh my memory.
I think it was like 2004 eBay. On eBay, was not eBay Live again, but on eBay, someone put a grilled cheese sandwich with the face of the Virgin Mary on it.
Uh-huh.
And a likeness. It actually does look like if you look online. But it sold for $28,000.
That's
wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, that's just wrong.
Unless you send the money straight to God or something.
Right.
Yeah. No, but anyway, so that's just kind of what can happen when you have a worldwide audience.
It's exposure. It's all about exposure.
It's really changed everything. Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to do it for us today. We appreciate you listening. I hope you find this a good show. And look for our upcoming shows. This is Martin Willis.
And Phyllis Gall.
Signing